To God be the glory for the things that He has done and continues to do in our lives. We're going to continue our study of Exodus and the event that we looked at last week. We looked at out of Egypt, and today we're going to see that just because you're out doesn't mean that trouble is over, all right? Because our authors have given us the title of Pursuit of the Slaves. It makes our hearts receptive for the Sunday school lesson. But we're going to get right into the lesson today. As promised, we started this last week, but I'm going to show you some things. And the reason I do this the way that I do it is because God's Word is relevant. Don't ever become so familiar with Scripture that it breeds contempt of Scripture in our lives. Because if you only had the book of Exodus at your disposal, it would be enough for salvation. Y'all don't hear me. I told you, on every page, there's Jesus. You can find Him. The issue is that we must look for Him, and we must do it diligently, because He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Okay, Exodus. What a wonderful a book of the Bible to study. And at this point, we've seen how God started in Genesis with a promise to Abraham, and all the way up to this point in Exodus, he's still fulfilling His promises. God is on the throne and He's working. There's never a time when God is not in control. Last week, we talked about out of Egypt. But what I want to do is take last week and connect it to this week, because I think it will facilitate your understanding. How many of you are 745ers? Okay, so that means y'all been to church already, right? Okay, so you should know where I'm coming from, Ben, because I've always told young ministers and preachers that they weren't around what the Lord's gonna give them a sermon. The Lord has given you millions of sermons at your disposal. All you got to do is read the Sunday school lesson and you can preach a sermon. Proof positive, 745. Okay. All right. But what we're going to have to do is what Pastor Mosley did was he went to another level with it. But now, it's my job. That's what Family Church School is all about, is to explain that which has happened over the pulpit so that you get a good connection, so that those of you that are ready for a sermon, you'll be on fire. You'll be ready. You'll be ready. Because last week, you read that out of Egypt, the children of Israel left. They left in a hurry. But it's the noticeable thing about them leaving was the fact that they left rich. See, right there, that's salvation. Because, I mean, they have a testimony right there of Baba Jean, because they can say, I once was broke. But they left rich, and everything just looked so wonderful. We going off. We're going to go do our thing. But for those of you who are in the evangelism process and matriculated through the process, and those that are currently there in basic Christian doctrine, know that we teach a concept in basic Christian doctrine about salvation. We teach Ordo Salutis. Ordo Salutis is the order of salvation. In other words, salvation has a threefold aspect to it. You have been saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. Is everybody on my side this morning? All right, I'm going to show you. Last week, we saw the children of Israel, Israel delivered up out of Egypt. Get up out of here. I don't want you. Because God looked at sin, was fed up with sin, and judged it. And judged it harshly. And Pharaoh now tells the children who he wanted to keep to get out. Go ahead, take your cattle with you. Men, women, children, all of y'all get up out of here. You got to go. You ain't got to go home, but you got to leave here. So they're on their way. They're on their way. Oh, this is such a happy time. Y'all know when you were tied down in sin, and when you got delivered, how happy you were. You know, you came to the, for some of you, like Steve, they had to go to the mourner's bench. You know, you contemporary Christians, you know, folks don't know what I'm talking about. You know, they were down at the mourning bench, you know, while they were down there laughing at other converts, they got saved, you know. But here we see God delivering his people. Somebody say, delivering. What did he deliver them from? He delivered them from the bondage of slavery. Okay? They are delivered. So, in Ordo Salutis, we teach that when you are delivered from sin, that means that you have been delivered from the penalty of sin. So they've been delivered from the oppression of slavery, and that's called justification. They were delivered just as if though they were never slaves before, because they're walking out there large and grand, just as if they had never been in bondage. Y'all with me? We talk about Ordo Salutis this morning. In their flight out of Egypt, we see the first phase of salvation. Deliverance from the penalty of sin. That has a past context. That was last week. But this week, what we're going to see is deliverance from the power of sin. Yeah, y'all don't get me. Back in Exodus chapter 6, Terry, go there for me right quick. Exodus chapter 6, because y'all won't believe that Exodus is a book about redemption. See, because redemption is simply meaning bought back. In other words, Pharaoh forgot that Israel was not his people. Israel was God's people. You can't take stuff from God and expect to keep it no longer than he wants you to. And there's a method behind all of his seemingly madness, just as we'll see today. But y'all saw him leaving last week. Are you there yet, Terry? What does 6:6 say? Sounds like good news to me. Sounds like a promise to me. Sounds like salvation to me. Sounds like deliverance to me. Sounds like redemption to me. And last week we saw it. They were bought out. After 430 years, they left Egypt. Read the first verse today. You've been delivered from the penalty of sin. But you didn't, once you got saved, you didn't die and go to heaven. You got to live this life. And in this life, there will be trials and tribulations. There will be obstacles that you will have to overcome, that you'll have to be taken to. So here's what I've done. I've sanctified you 2 million people to go not through the short route, but the long way around. Yeah, y'all don't hear me. See, because the short route around will expose you to some things that you're not familiar with. You can't handle war. You've been a slave all your life. You don't know nothing about waging war. You go up there, up the coast, and over that, to the Philistine Providence, there's gonna be war. You ain't equipped. So I'm God. I designed the plan of your deliverance, your salvation, but I need to take you through some things before you're really ready. Before you're really ready to meet your maker, you're gonna have to go through some things. And it may be the long way around, because the shortcut ain't always the best cut. There's some things that God knows about your life. There's some stumbling blocks out there that you're not familiar with. And when God says, we're gonna go this way, well, we're gonna go this way. I didn't hear too many complaints, but you know, there's always a couple of trustees or deacons in the group, you know, they're going, why are we going this way, you know? Long way around, been in here 430 years, I'm ready to go to the promised land. Yeah. But I've heard it stated also that God not only had to get Israel out of Egypt, he had to get Egypt out of Israel. Y'all don't hear me. See, because the world systems, that's all they knew. They knew world systems. So they needed to go through a period of sanctification. See, when you're being delivered from the power of sin, that's called sanctification. Well, I see them writing. They writing, Sister Ross. They writing. See, because, see, you have been saved from the penalty of sin. That's justification. You are being saved. That's happening right now from the power of sin. We're going to see it. Read next verse. One of the things that I've been emphasizing this quarter is that how God does things, Steve. And I told you about 5 weeks ago now that God is a God of order. There 2 million folk, let me tell you something. Take 2 million of anything that just been bound up and let it go. It's all over the place. But God says, this is gonna be an orderly thing because I'll do nothing that's out of order. Right. So I need you to harness yourself. I need you to orderly get in segmented groups and go this way. Orderly. Oh, now you can imagine some folk thought, man, I'm getting out of here. Them Egyptians might change their mind. I want to run away. I want to run ahead of Mercer. You know, hey, I can't outrun everybody, but the only person I got to outrun is the slowest person. You know, y'all move out my way. But God is a God of order. He loves obedience, but he's obsessed with order. So here he says, you guys leave, but you do it orderly. Next verse. You not only got to leave orderly, you got to take everything that God has promised you with you. Whenever you're going through this sanctification process, don't ever forget where you came from. Oh, I was blessed. Daryl's not here. But yesterday, one of the edicts that we were given in a session that I was in was that don't ever forget the future, the past. Don't ever. And matter of fact, we were charged with a pledge. Don't ever forget the past. The reason why this is important is because Joseph made a request. Y'all remember Joseph? I know we didn't grow up in a time where we knew not Joseph, but the Egyptians did, and that cost them. But they didn't know Joseph. But Joseph asked as a dying request, take my bones with you. These people took the time to show you there was order to go into Joseph's tomb, take his embalmed body, hoist it on something, and walk out. Walk through the desert with these bones. All because he asked them to. And you said, well, what difference does it make? Wait a minute, why? What difference? Deacon Snead, you know, he's getting ready to tell us in week 11, it doesn't matter whether or not you, but matter of fact, he already told him that, you know, doesn't matter whether you're incinerated, no matter where you get blown up, you know, you're going to your destination, you're going to heaven, no matter where you're buried. So why is it important? That's a very important passage there. Because what it does, it connects to a promise that God made and that Joseph made to Jacob. As a matter of fact, when Jacob died, Joseph went to the Pharaoh and said, look here, my daddy is dead, but I don't want to bury my daddy in Egypt. I want to take him over to Canaan, the land of milk and honey. I want to take him literally to heaven and bury him there. And he says, and I'll be back. He did it, but when he died, according to chapter 50, verse 26, 27, they said that he said, take my bones with you. Because that was a signal that it was a fulfillment of prophecy. Because if they were able to take, whenever they took, he didn't know when, but whenever they took those bones, that means that Israel had been delivered out of Egypt. See, you got to take some symbols and traditions with you to let you know where you come from. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you weren't always large and in charge. You weren't always able to have capital budgets, and you know, you weren't always not selling chicken sandwiches and washing cars. And you weren't always, we're marching to Zion on special annual day. You weren't always in that posture, but you know where you came from. And you know where you're going. But theologically, it don't make sense to take those bones into the desert, into the wilderness, and bury them somewhere, except that faith. The Word of God says it was by faith. Joseph trusted God, and Moses trusted God. Because of the faith commitment of one man, Moses is now carrying on the tradition of faith. See, because from Joseph's perspective, he never saw heaven. He couldn't see it. That was not a part. He only knew that resurrection would occur in Canaan, in the millennium, and then in eternity. He believed that. That's the same faith that you and I have. So it wasn't about, you know, the body had to be here. It was simply that he trusted God enough to know that whenever you see my bones trekking across the desert, God has fulfilled the promise. That means that we have been delivered and we are now being delivered. Oh, y'all don't hear me? We're talking about the ordo salutis, the order of salvation. You have been saved. That's justification. You are being saved, that's sanctification. And today, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the sanctification piece of the threefold aspects of salvation. Sorry, you're losing the back. I told you not to bet against me. Verse 20, and they took their what? To Succoth, encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. Could have went up to the coast, went over through the land of the Philistines, but this is God's plan. And the Lord went before them.
By day,
See, folk, there's something that happens when you are saved that's instant. Instantly, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And since he comes upon you and in you, that means he's with you. Now read the verse. The same verse. And the Lord? The Holy Spirit indwells every saved person for the sanctification process to guide you and direct you. The word now is in you, and the word is a light and a lamp unto your pathway. Y'all don't hear me. This cloud guided them to show that God manifested himself. This is called a theophany, that God himself shows up and directs their path. God is in charge. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit shows up and directs your path. The Holy Spirit is your light. The Holy Spirit is your lamp, because the Holy Spirit is the Word. Oh, we're just talking about the process of salvation, the order of salvation. And he took not away the what? He's always with you. There's never a time the Holy Spirit is not with you. Day or night, he's with you. Day or night, he's doing the shining. He's lighting the path, day or night, in the sanctification process. Because see, here's it. You in territory you've never been in before. You've never been saved before. You don't know nothing about salvation. But his job is to direct you in this sanctification process. That ain't exciting about it. We must we have all evangelism students. Chapter 14, verse 1.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
what did he say?
Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before the Lord.
Pahar. Hey, did you know Pahar? Just say the ha in the horeth, okay? Pahar-Harith, between what? Migdol
and the sea.
Baal-Zephon, before? Now, let me show you something. Just because you've been delivered from the penalty of sin does not mean that there will not be obstacles in your way. And there will be tough obstacles. And it may not make sense for you to go the way that you're being directed by the Holy Ghost. But the issue is, God always has a word for us, do as the Spirit leads. This is the craziest plan in the world, because if they go where God is telling them to go, the Egyptians gonna come and the Egyptians gonna whoop their head. This is strategically a bad place to be. Tactically is a bad place to be. I mean, that whoever drew up this war plan was not of this world. They didn't understand. Or did he? Because God is the master planner. He says, I want you to go there. I want you to go into a situation that is impossible for you to survive. Let me tell you something, folks. I told you, when you got saved, you now have become a citizen of heaven, and you are trekking through land that is most dangerous, that is not friendly to you. And that unless God is there with you, unless God presents his power on a daily basis, you can't make it in this life. So God is showing us in the book of Exodus, as he moves the children of Israel from slavery to true salvation, the process. You got to go through some things. You don't get everybody. See, that's what in Christendom we fail folk. We think that they, you know, they can fall out in the spirit, speak in tongue, jump some pews, you know, get the fellowship of the pastor, a pat on the back, you know, you get in your favorite clique, a club, a group, you know, whatever, and that everything is going to be all right. No, there are some things as a child of God you're going to have to go through while you're in this side of Jordan. Now, when you cross over, that's a different story, but we ain't there yet. Mosley already took y'all past Jordan. I want to take you, while you're dealing on this side of Jordan, there's some things that you're going to have to go through. There's some powers that come against you. There are forces that come against you. There are things that simply won't make sense in this sanctification process. They won't make sense. It does not make sense for you to bless those that curse you. That's sanctification. Wait a minute, the old me? You talking about cussing me? But see, God is showing you that, yeah, there's some folk out there that cuss you and whoop your head. And guess what? I want you to do nothing about it. Because you're a new creature. You ain't bound to slavery no more. You ain't a slave no more. You don't know nothing about this world anyway. You don't have any defenses. Y'all think y'all got something going because you got two Bible verses bumping up against each other? Maybe you know some Hebrew and Greek. You think you can get past this life? No, it is through the sanctification process that God is delivering us from the power of sin. So that you don't act like you used to. The old way of thinking, take the shortcut, go beat up the Philistine, take it, you know, make it easy. No, go around, go through the scorching desert. But you notice one thing? He says, I'll be with you.
Yes, sir.
You can go through the desert and you won't even get a suntan. Y'all don't hear me? Y'all angry. If you're with me in the sanctification, you can't give up on God because you got saved and now things aren't going the way that you thought it would be. You thought it would all be nice. Everybody's going to treat you well. You know, you're going to be more popular than you've ever been. No, it's just the opposite, folks. Because guess what? The devil doesn't know when to quit. We'll see that in a minute. That's why this is called They Pursue the Slave. The devil doesn't know when to quit.
Right.
Only Christians know when to quit. The devil don't give up. The devil's on your heel. Those hellhounds are always on your case, and God will put you in some positions that you will say, now, this don't make sense. We got all these great minds in here, and we can figure out this solution. We can come up with something. These great minds, we don't go over there. We know that's a trap. God says, go. Because in the sanctification process, a lot of the things that God asked us to do just simply don't make sense. Lord, how can you tell me to love my enemies? Lord, how can you tell me to forgive when they've hurt me so bad? God says, I'm strategically placing you for a miracle during the sanctification process. And if you don't want your miracle, you know, you go do it your way. But the issue is, I got a plan, and you won't interrupt my plan, no matter what you do. Oh, y'all don't believe me. You know, some of you got real happy and, you know, confess Christ, you know. And then when it wasn't all that glamorous, you fell away.
All right.
Well, let me tell you, if it was glamorous on day one, it should be even more glamorous today. Because see, that's what sanctification is about. Sanctification is having a view of God that you didn't have yesterday.
All right.
And if you get a little closer, See, some of the faces on that back wall, I can't call them out right now. Yeah, you know, it's called visual impairments. But as I get closer, I'll see. And that's what sanctification does. Sanctification brings you closer to God. God is sending you to a place where you'll be closer to Him, where you'll have to depend on Him and Him alone. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Let's read then. For Pharaoh, there are few times that God will unveil a complete plan with you. But He will always give us some indicators of where He's going. He says, now, I know some of y'all got questions, especially y'all on the back row back there. I see your questions already. Your question is, man, wait a minute. You know, what's God doing here? God says, first of all, if they see you going there, they're going to think one thing. Oh, them stupid slaves, they lost. Oh, this is going to be a field day. Yeah. Sharpen the knives. Bring out the blood. Oh, man, let me tell you what. We're going to have Israelite cordon bleu. Oh, we're going to have, this is going to be a havoc. We're going to raise havoc here. Because these people are lost. God said, that's what they're going to think. That's exactly what. They see you marching down there? They see you doing what the Lord says do? Because guess what? The person that that cursed you and you blessed them, they say, oh man, this is a chump. This is a chump here. I got this chump. Oh yeah, he confused. He don't know. He don't even know what to do. You know, he came up here and offered me a ride. Am I speaking to somebody? Well, I tell you. Verse 4.
And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after him, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and on all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am Lord, and they know so.
Whenever we're going through, know that God always has a plan. And guess what? Remember, we adopted in this class that we're going to, when we see the word hardening of heart, we're going to say what?
Twist.
In other words, I'm going to make Pharaoh act the way he really is. Let me take you back quickly, because all of y'all were there. Y'all were all witnesses. The frogs, the hail, the locusts, the darkness, the dead sons. Y'all go. Get out of here. The dead sons, last week, that should bring anybody to their knees. Y'all get out of here. God knew what Pharaoh was up to long before those children died. And today, he reminds the children of Israel, just like he reminds you, I'll let the world show you what they're really like. You think the world likes you. You think the world is just going to let you just skip through and have your little thing. But you know what? The world will show you who they are and what they're all about. But remember one thing. It is I am the one that's controlling this. God is always in control. And that ain't Betty Ziegler moniker. That's God's moniker. You know, God is always in control. No matter how difficult the situation, no matter what we're going through, God is in control, and He will show you. He will reveal to you the people, the very people who told you one thing. Because you know what? Some of them by now, here's what they're thinking, Tony. You know what? There's some pretty nice Egyptians. We had some nice relationships with them. Did you see this fine piece of gold that they gave us? You know, there's some really nice, there's some good Egyptians. And God said, I will show you what this world thinks of you as you go through this process of sanctification. Because we've got to learn how the world really is. See, that's what sanctification does. Sanctification sets us aside for training on this side. See, y'all thought sanctification was an activity or an event. Sanctification is a process also. You know, you start here and you got to move here, and you got to move under the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit to be sanctified. Otherwise, you just justify. Yeah, you're going to heaven, but you won't know anything about living. You'll be out of step in the heavenly choir. You won't be in the choir. They put you on the... I'm sorry. I can't take that kind of license. brother, five, let's read five, and yeah. The world is so silly, they ask themselves rhetorical questions. Why in the world we do this? Man, wait a minute. Hey, Pharaoh, wait. Did we really drugged or something? Why we let it, you realize we let all these people go? Wait a minute. Hey, man, are we suffering from some cognitive dysfunction or something? You know, well, why? Why did we do this? See, because pride, see, a lot of times people will make decisions. They will make decisions that are in their least interest just simply because of their pride. Folks, let me tell you one thing. If I'm ever involved in a fight again, physical fight, I will always revert back to what I was before. And my thing was, when you fought me, I want you to be mad, very angry. I want you totally crazy angry at me. You know why? Angry men don't think well. You heading for a good beat down. See, because you're not thinking. You're not thinking. You know, because if you thought about it, you said, well, hey, I ain't messing with him right now, because you know what? He got a couple of his boys over there. You know, okay, I'll catch him later. But anger will make you rush right over there, and he's got 10 M16s pointed at you. You're about to be annihilated. That's the issue with Pharaoh here. But during the sanctification process, that's what we got to realize, is that we're going through this thing, and God's got our back. But I got to get you this one, because in the sanctification process, it's very important. And he made ready his chariots and took people with him. And he took
600 chosen chariots
and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over everyone. He took the power of Egypt. Well, y'all didn't hear me. I like saying that. It's one of the few that I can thrust through this weak chest now. He took the power of Egypt to come down on these folk. But guess what? We've already said Egypt is sin. And God says, I'm delivering you from the power of sin. In other words, the power that sin has over your life, it can no longer have, because you've been saved, and you are being saved. I saved you from the penalty. No weapons are formed against you shall prosper. The wages of sin is death. It doesn't apply to you anymore. But guess what? I've got to save you from the very power of sin, because every day there are strong armies that are coming against you. Somebody say strong armies. I want somebody, I at least want two people in here to realize, every day there are strong armies that come against us. And you know, we're bewildered, and we look like we're surrounded. Well, you know, am I the only one that's going through this? I mean, why are they coming at me like this? You know, I'm just being saved. I'm a nice guy. Power. But you gotta know one thing. God is with you. God's in control. And the power that's coming against you, God is delivering you from. He hasn't delivered you from it. He is delivering you every day, because the power of this system doesn't quit. Y'all don't hear me? Y'all don't hear me? So I guess I got to bring it home then. And the Lord. But I told y'all, you know, if it, you know, you don't want to practice pronouncing those words, just say in them places. Okay? Because them places, I mean, on the map, you can't even find them today. You know, so you could say Salem, Harith, you know, Balaam, you know, and whatever you want to say. But here's the point. God doesn't want you to miss this. He's delivering, he has delivered you from the penalty of sin. He is delivering you from the power of sin. All the forces of this world, all the sin of this world and its power has come against you. But guess what? It ain't your fight. Y'all don't hear me? Because if y'all, for the 745ers, when he gets to this part, Wes, you remember he says, and he told him, he stood there and he says, today, see the salvation of the Lord. I won't take you no further. I'll let you hear the sermon. But the issue is, I got to get you through this sanctification process. Here's what God is saying. All the stuff that you're going through since you've been saved, it ain't your fight. You think they're coming against you. They ain't coming against you. They're coming against God. That's why Moses is going to tell you, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In the sanctification process, you're not moving. God is moving. Y'all don't hear me? You aren't moving. God is moving. He's taking you somewhere. He's taking you through this. You just go where he says go, and you stay where he says stay. You do what he says do in the sanctification process, because that tells you you trust God. You trust God no matter what the odds are, no matter how things appear to you right now. I just implore you, trust God. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to get no strategy against this war that's being waged against you, because the word is clear. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And what you do is that you know one thing, there's a cloud that directs me by day. There's a fire that directs me by night. God is with me in all of this as I'm being saved, as I'm being saved. I thought you already saved. I'm being saved from the power of sin. In other words, sin doesn't have any effect on me. In other words, you don't cuss like you used to cuss. You don't do some of the stuff you used to. See, before, they weren't orderly before. They just broke out. Now they got to get in order. See, some things in sanctification that you have to do. See y'all next week.